You're listening to The Doorcast, found on every major podcast streaming service, especially Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher. The Doorcast is written and produced by your host and yours truly, Liam Dorr, and is recorded in the heart of Manhattan. Welcome back to the Doorcast. Today we have a very special guest, a musician. It's a bit of a change of pace, but today we have Chris Nitti. And Chris Nitti is an old friend, goes back a very long time, back to my middle school days. But today is a self-released and independent musician. His most recent album, One Day You Will Forget You Were Ever Waiting, recently hit Spotify. But if you check out his Spotify, he has a lot of great music. So by all means, check him out. Chris, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Yeah, dude, it's great. So just diving right in, because I listened to some of your music beforehand, and I know we saw each other a few months back, right when your album released. When did this start? Because I remember you going back to, and you were big into skateboarding. I didn't know you were a musician. So where did you get your penchant for music? How did this start?
Okay, so funny thing is, I didn't play any music in middle school. Like, I would listen to music, of course, like everybody, but I didn't start playing music until I picked up a guitar summer after eighth grade. So I consider it high school, essentially, is when I started playing music. I started playing guitar, taking guitar lessons at Mark Murphy's Music, actually, in South Orange. And that's kind of where that started.
Mark Murphy's. I actually used to take lessons there too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I was not and am not as good as you. What inspired that? Did you just one day think, like, this is really cool, I could get into this? Or was it just like you needed something to do and guitar was available?
So, when I was in middle school, my friends were taking lessons. Like, one of my friends was taking drum lessons and another was taking guitar lessons. And I hung out with them all the time. So, like, you know, when we hung out and they had lessons, I would sit in the lobby of Mark Murphy's while they would take lessons. And I was like, you know, this seems kind of cool. Like, I would love to learn how to play guitar. Like, it just seems like a cool thing. But I didn't actually end up getting around to bugging my parents to be like, hey, can I get a guitar? Can I do this? Until summer after eighth grade is when I was finally, I guess, able to. Not that I ever asked my parents in middle school. I think I might have, like, briefly mentioned it. But after middle school, I was kind of like, I actually want to try this, and I'm willing to try and make it happen.
And then when did you know that you, like, wanted this to be your life?
Huh. Okay, so that wasn't until I started actually making music. And so when I was in... when I was a freshman in high school taking guitar lessons, I was also simultaneously getting really into certain artists and albums that were kind of like starting to shape what my taste is today. And it was kind of like what I imagine, like, somebody that might grow up in a music family would have had, like, years and years ago when they were little. Like, my friend who's really into music probably had phases like that when he was young. Like, he would tell me about, you know, going through his dad's computer and finding music. But I basically didn't really, quote-unquote, get that until my freshman year of high school. So I was listening to all these artists that I really admired, also learning how to play guitar. And it just came to a point where I've been playing guitar, I guess, for like a year or 2 years at that point. And I was kind of like, I want to start writing music. Like, all my favorite artists, a lot of the artists that I loved were also, like, solo artists like me. So they made all the songs themselves. And it took until I found who I would consider my biggest inspiration, who is Alex G, if anybody out there knows, for me to be like, okay, I want to do this. I want to write and record all the music myself. And so I started doing that. And I just, like, I guess I just thought I was, I mean, not sound cocky, but I was like, I'm kind of good at this. Like, where with skateboarding, I was like, I don't know if I'm that good at this in a funny way, but.
So I guess when you're writing, I guess it's kind of like team sports versus solo sports.
Right.
Do you think that doing all of it solo, going on your own as a musician, do you think that's easier or harder?
For me, I think it kind of depends. Like, I really liked the appeal of doing everything myself. One, obviously, because the artist that I really loved did it, and I kind of, I was like, I want to be like them in a corny sort of way. But it's also just nice because you get to make all the decisions. Like, you don't have any other band members to, influence your sound. You kind of get to call all the shots, and it's kind of cool to just create your own world. But in another way, if you find other musicians that you have great chemistry with, I'm sure it doesn't even feel like your ideas are like getting shot down or like modified too much, because you all kind of have like one common goal and really great chemistry and can write the music you all want to write without any sort of problem. But for me personally, I think I find it easier to write alone. But I kind of do wish I wrote with more people, and I'm trying to branch out and do that a little bit more. But I don't do it enough, so I'm kind of like, I don't know how to do this.
So, on the inverse of the positives of working by yourself, when you are working on a song or you're working on a concept and it doesn't turn out the way you want it, there's only one person to blame, and that's you. Do you think that is harder than it would be if you were in a band, multiple people? Or is it one of those things where you're like, yeah, whatever, I made something I didn't like, but no one's here to tell me that except for me?
Yeah, I'd say probably that. It's never really, I never run into an issue really where I'm like, I guess it's really only in hindsight where I might be like, I didn't like that song, or I would have changed that lyric or something. I don't mind it either way. I guess I don't blame myself too hard, because in my eyes, it's all kind of like history. Like, you might have written something that you didn't like, back in your discography, but like, that's you, that's a part of your artist history. And like, it makes me even feel better about the stuff that I make now, because I have something to compare it to. I don't beat myself up too much over it or anything like that.
So then what is your process? So you've released what, six albums?
Let's see, I have an EP, three albums, and I guess like two singles.
Okay, yeah. So what is it? It's Eternal Condition, Bittersweet, the other version of Bittersweet, Internal, or Reflection, and then most recently, One Day.
The Bittersweet actually was a single for the album of the same name. But yeah,
Oh, there we go.
so but yeah, those projects were everything that I've released so far up to date. I guess my process, like my writing process, I suppose, or
Yeah,
just
sure.
like from start a project from start to finish. I guess like it starts with me almost always. I play other instruments, but guitar is my most fluent in terms of musical ideas. And so I'll sit down and I'll be playing guitar, and I'll play around with chords or like noodle on notes or whatever, and eventually I find something that I like, and I develop that idea until I feel like I have a complete song, start to finish, at least just the guitar. And then I have a looper pedal for my electric guitar, which basically means that I can play chords and have them on a loop so I can write melodies over them. And so I'll basically write the guitar parts ahead of time, and then I'll grab my mic, I'll set it in front of my guitar, whether acoustic or electric, and record the rhythm guitar or whatever guitar part that I wrote. Sometimes it's not always necessarily rhythm. And then from there, now that I have that in my on my computer in a DAW, which is a digital audio workstation where artists make songs and stuff. Once I have that down, it's like, okay, now I have something to work with. And then I might, I usually mic up my drums and create a drum part, and then I'll plug in my bass and write the bass, and I have a MIDI keyboard, I'll create synth parts or maybe layer guitars and write lyrics and record vocals. It doesn't always happen in this order, and this process can take like months, but that's kind of how I write my songs. It's guitar first, because it's just kind of what I know best. And then now that I have something to play over and work with, I can start to create everything else. And eventually I just get to this point where I'm like, I don't think this needs anything else. I think this song is done.
And all this magic has happened in the studio you're in right now.
Yeah, in my basement.
Hey, you know what? It's just from looking at it, it's better than the setup I'm working with. So I do have something to ask you, and it's this really weird to me. Why does the cover of Internal look so damn familiar?
Oh, it's, what is that school? Is it Marshall?
You know, it's 2 blocks. If that's Marshall, that's 2 blocks from me.
Oh, yeah. Marshall's across from Grove Park, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the back of Marshall.
I looked at that and I was like, that's just, you know those images you see on TikToks or on memes or whatever that's like, why does this image look so familiar to me? And it's like a Target from the 80s or something.
Yeah,
I saw that and was like, that looks way too familiar.
That's funny. Yeah, that's the back of Marshall.
What's your process in choosing EP or album art covers?
Oh, that's fun. So I guess another thing about me is I really like taking photos. So I'm usually, more recently, I've been starting to take photos on film. But back then, it was mostly iPhone. But you know, if I see like a photo or something that I think would make a nice photo, I take it. And so I kind of just collect all these images. And when I have all the songs together and I figured out like the order and I listen back to it, even when I'm making it too, but especially when it's finished, I'm kind of like thinking like, what does this music make me feel like visually? And so I kind of choose a photo that sets the mood for the music, or at least in my eyes, you know, I want people to create their own associations and affiliations with the music, wherever they listen to it or connect with it. But for me, I'm like, what does this music make me feel like? And, you know, maybe for that EP, it was like, I had that photo and I was like, oh, this is perfect. Like, this is what this EP feels like to me visually, which is a kind of an abstract concept, I guess, but that's just how I think about it. And so I'll like sift through my photos and, or in this case on the new album, I was looking through other people's photos until I find something that I'm like, this feels like the music.
Are these all South Orange locations?
Let's see. Condition was, Internal was, actually Bittersweet was too. That might have been Maplewood. At one of a friend's, my friend's friend's house, that photo was taken. Most of them are, the newest one wasn't, and my two singles weren't, Reflection and If Only. Those are taken. Reflection was taken in New York. If Only was taken at my apartment in Hoboken. I actually don't know where the new album photo was taken, but I've been meaning to ask my friend who took that photo, because if he knows where it is, I want to go. But
and t-shirts in February.
Oh, yeah, that's South Orange, or Maplewood. Yeah.
That gives some very serious South Orange Maplewood vibes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That was in my friend's backyard.
I feel like it's probably not just me who would see them and feel that there's something eerily familiar about them.
Yeah, that's kind of the goal with me in those photos. Or not a goal, but something that I've realized I like is nostalgia and like having things feel familiar.
Sure.
Even if you're not familiar with it.
Sure. So talking about nostalgia, talking about familiarity, things like that, what is the inspiration behind One Day You Will Forget You Were Ever Waiting?
Huh. Okay. So, and I don't remember why I came up with that title, but it was a mantra that I would say to myself, just because I felt like I was at a place where I was kind of just like, is this what I want to be doing? Like, I was kind of in school, like, do I want to be in school right now? Like, could I be spending my time doing something more productive or something that I feel like might better suit me? And I ended up just coming to the conclusion that I want to finish school. You know, at the end of the day, I want to have the degree to fall back on. And then after college, I can, you know, do whatever I want. I'm not really bound to anything. But so that sort of was kind of like, I guess it was getting me down. To be honest, I was just kind of in a depression at that point, you know, feeling very like stuck. You know, is this what I want to be doing? And so I would say that to myself in times where I needed motivation to continue forward and to be like, you know, like, I just thought about things like, you know, how many things have you waited for or wanted to happen, or like events you were anticipating in your life, and they kind of just come, you deal with it, and then they go, and something new comes along, and you're always just kind of like moving on to the next thing. And so I would say that to myself to remind myself, like, this too shall pass sort of thing. And so that was kind of the inspiration behind the title and a lot of the lyrical content and stuff like that.
Really, it's interesting. It's like just the contrast looking at all of the one word albums, EPs, singles, and the art, and even the, one day, the art is almost slightly different. It's got the longer title. It's very, from a novice in music, it's, I guess, would say it shows maturation, right? Is
Yeah,
that
I'd say so. Or definitely like experimentation, 'cause like you said, I'm always like I was always a fan of like the one word titles or album covers, but that I couldn't think of like that was like when I had that phrase and started writing the album, I was like, this has to be the title. Like, yeah, it's really long and kind of a mouthful to say, but I was even thinking about shortening the title, but I was like, no, it kind of needs to be the whole thing.
No, yeah, it works. It really does. So you, if I saw correctly in the social media sphere, if I saw correctly, you played like a almost like a secret concert or like a small concert recently?
That was funny. So my friend was throwing, I guess, like a little local party, and I was just gonna play secretly, and it was like one of those things where I didn't want like too many people showing up, so I was just gonna like play to whoever was there, but it ended up just being like my friends, so there was maybe like at most like 15 people, and so last minute I was like, does anybody else want to come to this? Nobody said anything. I kind of just like waited too long, but I was like, whatever. So I ended up playing to my friends, but honestly, that was probably one of the most fun shows that I'd played.
What's
So
your
that was.
typical venue look like? Are you doing the bar circuit or the live music at like music hall type thing, or are you just doing anything you can get your hands on?
Yeah, I wish I was doing more like music hall stuff, but for right now, it's like whatever kind of comes along. Usually it's like I played a backyard show not too long ago. I played this thing in Montclair that was like, I guess, similar to like a backyard show, this little outdoor thing. I might have one in August that's gonna be in somebody's backyard. So like, I guess little backyards. I've played in like basements before. Usually kind of anything people ask me to play, I'm usually down to play. Definitely want to be more proactive about maybe trying to get into bigger venues and stuff like that, but it's hard.
You said you're in Hoboken, right?
During the school year, I am, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I guess there's probably some bars that I'm not too much of an expert of Hoboken. There are probably bars in Hoboken that can
Yeah, I just gotta
accommodate,
find
right?
them.
Yeah. What is your style per se? Like, we know that you do the solo. We know that it's mainly your main instrument's guitar. But if we talk, we're talking about music. We talk about Led Zeppelin being classic rock, we talk about Blink-182 being pop punk. What is the Chris Nitty style?
I usually say indie rock, but it's such a vague title. I almost hate using it because it's so nondescript. But I guess, like, I listen to a lot of indie rock, so I usually just categorize it that way. I guess I would also categorize it as, like, dream pop, or I guess a lot of people use the term bedroom pop for things that are, created in similar situations like me, where it's like you're recording it all yourself in your room or your basement or just at home, like DIY sort of style. Yeah, very nondescript. I never know how to describe my own music. It's kind of weird, but indie rock is one way I would put it, I suppose. Dream pop is another way I like to put it. Maybe folky at times. I think there's kind of like a blend of stuff. I use a lot of jazz chords, but I wouldn't categorize it as jazz, obviously, because I think it has such a different feel than what people think of when they think of jazz, but I like using those chords.
But you don't want to be in a box where people know you as like this one kind of genre.
Yeah, not necessarily. I mean, if it ends up happening to me, it's like whatever. Preferably not. Or I hope that it just like people don't just think like I'm just this, or like people will have their own preconceived notions about a genre, but I hope that doesn't ever hold people back from listening to me or anybody.
It's interesting when I was telling people that I was interviewing you, like I was telling people that who would have both known me and you, so like, mutuals or whatever. I was
Yeah.
like, you know who I'm interviewing tonight? Chris Nitty. And I'm like, yeah, he's become a bit of this like hometown hero. Like he's really well known.
Oh man.
So that leads me to the question, any kind of like, is there, has the fame of being an independent musician hit you?
No, I don't consider myself famous, so I would say no. But my friends always support me, and people around me are very supportive of what I do. So in that way, I definitely feel very, I feel very appreciated in that way by the people that do know about what I do are very supportive of what I do. So
Sure.
I love everybody that is supportive of me. It means the world.
So what I mean is like,
Okay.
yeah, no, I wasn't trying to inflate any egos. What I kind of mean is like when you're out of high school or like out of your hometown, you know how there's always that one person who like when you're talking about them, you're kind of like, oh, he or she, like they're kind of famous now. Like they're doing their thing.
Yeah.
They've blown up on this or that. That's, for South Orange, at least for people plus minus 2 or 3 years, that for me is you and Mia Gladstone.
Yeah.
And
Yeah, she's really blown
yeah, really, it's like 250,000 monthly listeners. It's pretty crazy. But
Yeah.
so my question is, and maybe me saying this is new to you, is what's it like being the guy who's known when people mention you, who's known as like the guy who's like, oh yeah, like he's like doing well, he's like pretty famous now. And I don't, like I said, I'm not trying to like inflate egos, but when there's always that like that situation where there's one or two people who are well known after high school, after college, you're that guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Really?
No, I mean, not really. I know, like I've never felt any sort of like famous, or I always feel like it's a lot of my friends supporting me, which is obviously appreciated, or like a lot of mutual friends will support my music and stuff. But I didn't know that people, I'm never really aware of how many people outside of my circle are actually listening or like tuned into what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But if they are, that's awesome.
All the
That's sick.
all the South Orange people who I still talk to, whenever the conversation about going back to South Orange, Columbia, SOMS or whatever, and you come up and we're like, yeah, no, he's doing well for himself. He's a pretty good musician. He's pretty,
Wow.
yeah, he's got a pretty he's good got a good following. And it's kind of interesting because you're that guy, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it feels good hearing that. Appreciate
Yeah, of course.
that and stuff. It's pretty awesome. It gives me hope for the future. Hopefully I can ex keep expanding and keep doing my thing, and maybe even more people will be tuned in and stuff. Although obviously I do it for fun too, but there's always that thing in the back of your head, like being a creative, like, I kind of like, if it started popping off, I wouldn't be mad,
Yeah, if there was an agent in the crowd, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
Right. Yeah, if I got on, like a small little record label or something, I wouldn't be upset at all.
So, speaking of that, what have you been working on recently?
Yeah. So, I'm starting to think about my next album, and that's about as far as I've gotten right now, because I'm about to be a senior and I'm studying music at my school. And so I have to do my senior thesis, and now they're very loose with what you can do. So I was basically just like, can I make an album? And they were like, yes, you can. And I was like, cool, I'm just gonna make another solo record and have that be my senior thesis, and I'll have another album. And so that's what I'm doing. Now I have to have it finished, I'm sure, by when I graduate, which would be in May. And so I'm just like, I want to be really methodical this time around, because after we released the last one, me and my friends that mixed and mastered the project were like, yeah, next time we're gonna make Okay, I think next time you should make an album that's like perfect. Like you got to really knock it out of the park, and we're gonna make such a, amazing record next time around. And that got me fueled. I was like, you know what? You're right. I want to ride this hype a little bit, even if it's very local, very small hype, and be like, I kind of want to make something. Obviously, it's hard to make something perfect, and I honestly don't really expect to make anything perfect, but I want to be a little more thoughtful this time around. So I'm thinking about having, maybe working with people that actually know how to engineer recordings and help me get a nice sound. And I want to have somebody else play bass and drums so that those instruments sound really good, better than I could do them. And so I have a lot of big plans for this next one, but I don't know what's actually going to happen and what's not yet, because first I have to write it. And with the schedule that I want to do, I'm hoping to record it over winter break. So I feel a little bit of pressure, but it also, I hope that that helps me eventually just like write an album, at least guitar wise, write everything, have all the songs and lyrics written, and then have it ready to record over winter break.
So you can just, well, first off, are there any constraints that your university's putting on you? Like in terms of how many songs have to be on the album, there's length, things like that. Or is it just like, all right, for your senior thesis, create an album and you have carte blanche to do whatever you want creatively. Here's your license to both make and produce a new album, but also check off the box when it comes to finishing college.
Yeah, basically that, and not everybody in my major has to create an album. Like it was kind of like literally you could come up with whatever you want. Like some people, like I have a friend that's creating an EP and having a music video for each song. And there's another group of people doing something similar, and some people are just like writing, some people just want to write papers and do like a research paper. And so they kind of just let you do whatever you want. I say the only constraint I have is time.
Nice.
Otherwise, they, and I guess it depends on your advisor too, because I think some advisors would be a little bit more like, would probably be a little bit more, how are you, what are you going to do that's special? Or like to really push me. And not that my advisor wouldn't do this, of course. She's the best, but she's definitely like, you can kind of, make whatever album you want, she, letting me take the reins and kind of, is there as a guiding force. So yeah, pretty, it's super open-ended, which is nice.
Do you think there's going to be any kind of weird transition? I know you said that you want to include a bass, you want to include drums. Do you think there's going to be a weird learning curve to actually starting to play with other people in a, I guess, even like a quasi band setting?
Yeah, definitely. It'll be new for me because I guess gradually I've been realizing that, if somebody can do something better than me, why not have them do it? Like in the early days of my music, I would mix and master everything myself, which is basically just like, I guess the editing of the music world, like editing your song, making it sound as best as you can, and ready to release. But so, and I was like, other people can do that better than me. It'll help my music sound better. I'm gonna let them do it. And it's proved to be really fruitful in how my songs have turned out since I started doing that. And so this time around, I was like, I'm gonna do that with some of the instruments because it will just open up the doors, and those instruments in the song will sound super good and, again, way better than I could do them. But there definitely will be a learning curve because I've never had other people record on my songs. And so I'm gonna have to try and find this balance of here's what I was envisioning for this instrument. Now play it the way that you would play it, sort of thing. And I kind of have some experience with that when I play live because I have to teach other people parts to my songs that I've already written. So it's a similar thing, but I'm gonna let those people write the parts for those songs. So I guess finding. Having them write something that I like, which I'm not too worried about. They're the people that I want to have, assuming that everything works out, are really great musicians, so I'm not too worried. But they're definitely, yeah. Sorry, long-winded answer, but definitely, yeah. Definitely a learning curve for sure.
Well, yeah, no,
But I'm excited.
you're wearing a lot of hats. What is it? You're the lead musician, you're the lead vocalist, but you also are the composer and the director. I mean, and if anything, it'll be a fun challenge, right?
Yeah, it'll be a super fun challenge, and I know whatever happens, I'm gonna like what's gonna come out of it, as long as, everything gets finished and all the songs get recorded. I know that I'm gonna be pleased no matter what. I'm not gonna leave the recording studio or wherever with something that I'm unhappy with. But again, with the people that I want to work with, I'm not too worried about, or not really worried at all about the output that they're gonna output.
And so these are friends of yours, or they're like people you'd be hiring?
Friends of mine.
Ooh, so are you gonna have to change the Spotify name to like Chris Nitty and the something?
No, I'll just have to credit. I'll just have to give them the credit.
Oh, so you're not okay, so you're not turning it into and the E Street Band?
No. No plans. That would be funny though.
Chris Nitty and the South Orange Slammers. Yeah. So like long term and just crazy projection here. What's your end game? I know that's a huge question, and I can't even answer that for myself, so I don't expect you to have this like quantified answer. But what is your, you look at yourself in, what are you? You're 22, right? 21?
22, yeah.
You're 22. You look at yourself 5 years from now, where are you?
Oh, hard to say. Ideally, I'm creating music and doing what I love. I want to start after school. I'm hoping to really try and get my foot in the door and, maybe start growing this musical project. Going on tour was a huge dream of mine, and playing a lot of shows to hopefully get my name out there. And at least, like, I don't really want to be super famous at all. And obviously, music is mostly for fun, but of course it would be cool, or the way I see it at least is, like, there's so many artists that I look up to that, go on these cool tours and have really devoted fans like myself and other people. And it would be cool to kind of be able to do those sort of things too. It just seems like fun, I guess, simply put. But yeah, so I hope I'm still making music, still, I mean, doing it maybe to an even greater extent and growing my project and, I guess, expanding, who's listening to me and doing cooler things. Hopefully there'll be more opportunities to do cooler things with this project. That's the dream, at least. I don't know. I'm gonna do my best to try and make that happen, of course, but it's all up in the air. I mean, obviously I'll have to have some sort of job to make money and survive. I'm sure, at least at the start, that'll be, if not the rest of my life, working a job and making music in addition is probably the most realistic thing, and trying to do all those things in my dream and seeing what happens.
My knowledge is more in like the film production range, and I know that entire, they say Hollywood runs on ego. You said you don't want to be super famous, but you want to be well known in your niche, if I'm,
Yes, yeah, exactly.
how do you, I guess, stray away from that norm of that huge ego of wanting to be like the most well known, the most impressions, the most sponsored? Is it just the purity of the music that you want?
I don't know. I guess I don't want to be super famous because it just seems like it honestly just seems very overwhelming. Like, to be super famous, because I, for example, like in freshman year, I would listen to a lot of Tame Impala. And now Tame Impala is like huge, like really big, way bigger than when I was listening. And I wasn't even listening when they were that small, but they were definitely like on that trajectory. And it's, crazy to see. And I'm thinking, like, what would I do if I were that huge? And like, I honestly don't know, and I don't really want to be that huge because it seems overwhelming, and then I feel like you kind of lose touch with your fans, so to speak. And yeah, I guess How to stray away from the ego. I don't know. I guess I've always tried to just humble myself and not try and be too cocky, because at the end of the day, I don't want to say I'm not special, but there's so many people out there that do this sort of thing and have their own special capabilities and stuff. So in that, I feel like a very a small fish in a big pond in that sort of sense. So I don't know. I don't know if I really answered that question.
But you're
Sorry.
a no, no worries. You're a no frills kind of guy though. So you're never going to be the guy who has like the feathers coming out of a jacket or like the super crazy colors on his album cover. That just doesn't seem like it's that would be
Yeah,
your
not to
thing.
an extent. Yeah, I would never be. I'm never too out there. That's just, I guess that just boils down to my personality. I suppose I'm a little more, I feel like I'm reserved until you really get to know me, and then I'm not super reserved, but I feel like I'm always a little bit shy, a little bit reserved.
You don't want people to like the character and think they like the music because they like the character, when in reality they only like the idea of like this person persona almost.
Yeah, I want it to be as, I don't know what the word is, but I want it to be true to myself. And if people get attached to the music, I want it to be authentic, If they, they get into the music and they get to know me, then they know me, It's like no persona, no facade. Like, this is just me.
Oh, so that's interesting. So you want like if a stranger, like let's say hypothetically some 18-year-old from I don't know Albuquerque or something, it's the first place I could think of, listen to all of your music. Do you feel like even though this guy's never met you before in his life, if he met you like for real, he'd know you pretty well? Like everything's a reflection of your complexities?
I don't know how well they would know me, because you can only know somebody so well by the music that they write, but music has always been a way for me to self-express and to kind of articulate everything that goes on with my head. So I'd like to think that if somebody really resonates with my music or my lyrics and they got to know me, hopefully they would be like, okay, this kind of makes sense. Like, it wouldn't be like a culture shock, like, wow, this is not what I expected. Like, I feel like they'd probably be like, yeah, I get it. Like, this makes sense.
Yeah, because you do hear a lot of stories of people meeting musicians or actors that they think they know, and they're just like completely thrown off by the personality that the person actually has because they assumed from their work that it would be something completely different.
Yeah, it's such. Yeah, it always hurts to hear those stories, but at the same time, it's like, I feel like people got to be able to separate themselves from that. I guess it's easy to feel like when you get really into something that you really know the person behind it, but at the end of the day, like, this is just somebody's music or somebody's, it works for any sort of art, really, like television, films, photography, whatever. It's like, you don't really know somebody based on their art, but maybe you can get closer based on certain artists than you would with others. Yeah, it's good to be able to separate that and be like, okay, just because I like this music doesn't mean that this person is like this. But obviously, people get really infatuated with something, and it's kind of hard to, when you have that moment, you're like, oh, this is not what I ex like. It's normal to have an expectation, so I don't blame people for that. But I think people get a little too lost sometimes, if that makes any sense.
But there's also the inverse where you assume by something a person does or what they created that you wouldn't like them.
Yeah, and then you find out that you're like, oh, I do like this person. Like,
It
I had a
happened.
totally wrong impression.
I had this impression of, and it's a very far throw from art. I had an impression of these people from the Jersey Shore. They were all annoying and terrible. Then I met two of them in real life, and they were more genuine than 90% of the people in my real life. It was insane.
It's just funny how that works. Like, you really can't judge a book by its cover.
What did the pandemic look like for you? I'm assuming you were playing live shows before that.
Yeah, so I'd play a show like weeks or maybe like a month before the pandemic hit, and I played one over winter break. So I had one in January, one in February, which was fun, and then the pandemic hit, and it was, like for most, or for everybody, it was like everything came to a halt. Like I was going home for spring break, which is in March for me, and then it was coming up in the news, but there was no lockdown yet. So I came home for spring break, and of course COVID was being talked about, but we were still hanging out indoors, and I was able to see my friends and hang out with them. But as soon as that week ended, it was kind of like, so I was almost met with this ultimatum, like, I was talking all spring break, like some people were like, yeah, I think I'm just gonna stay home, and I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna stay home yet, like I might go back to Hoboken. But by the end of that week, I was like, it doesn't make any sense for me to go back to Hoboken, like I'm just gonna stay home in South Orange. And then, yeah, of course the pandemic hit the US and everybody had to stay home and be locked down, so not like I really had much of a choice there. But lockdown, of course school went over Zoom, and that was a whole new thing to navigate. And yeah, I was just kind of at home, spending a lot of time with myself and my family. And that's kind of when I started writing. I had some of the ideas for the album musically before the pandemic, but once the pandemic hit, and school was over, which I guess weren't simultaneously, like a couple months in between each other, or in between those two events, but I started writing more just being at home with all my instruments, and started recording in May for the album, and just spent that whole summer recording while I was relatively confined. Because once the summer, last summer hit, we were able to be outside and socially distance with masks and stuff. So I was still seeing friends, but it was very much limited as to what we could do. So I guess I wasn't like completely stuck at home, but I definitely wasn't enjoying my summer to the full extent. So a lot of it being at home, which it did suck, of course not being able to socialize the way I wanted, but it was also like I had this unique opportunity where I was home during school with all my instruments, so it kind of gave me the opportunity to really expedite the writing process
Yeah,
and
really,
write more songs.
when you have the time, take advantage of it, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you get to play until the mask mandate lifted back in what, May 2021? Did you get to play between the breakout and then any kind of live shows or?
So last summer, there was this, like this little outdoor concert that happened. It was in Montclair, very small, socially distant, masked and everything. But my friends were playing it, so I went and I played a song, a cover at the open mic, and that was about it though. I hadn't played any of my music up until, was it not this past week, but the week before I played something. Actually, for the same little group that puts on shows in Montclair that I went to last summer, they finally had something like post-pandemic,
Nice.
and I played that. That was the first thing I played, and I guess it was like a year and a half.
So wait, when you're live, are you usually playing covers or are you doing a mix of?
At an open mic like I did last summer, I'll usually play a cover because I like playing covers. But when I play with my band and I play like a set of my music, I'm usually not playing any covers because I'll have a limited amount of time and I want to be able to showcase my music. So normally not, but if I have like an excess of time with the band, sometimes we'll learn a cover. We've done it in the past.
Who do you, just like musician wise, who do you usually cover?
We covered the Strokes once. We actually did something a little silly at recently we've been doing like a silly cover. We cover One Dance by Drake, which is really funny.
Really? But like
Yeah.
a band cover. That's
Yeah.
interesting.
Yeah, it's really fun, honestly. I think it sounds pretty good, and if it gets the crowd excited. Like pre-pandemic is when we first did it, and I was playing show. I don't know if you're aware of who Kid Smoko is, but a lot of those guys are a couple years ahead of me, and they put on the show in the Meat Locker which is in Montclair, like this little dingy basement, you know. But so there's a bunch of random people I didn't know there, and we just decided to do this Drake cover for whatever reason. I can't even really remember why I wanted to do that. And then, you know, of course, I'm the first band playing. Nobody knows my music, but they're all standing there and enjoying it. And then we play one dance, and people start singing the words. And I was just kind of, I had like an oh shit moment. Like for some reason, I did not expect people to be singing along, but it made so much sense once I was like, yeah, of course, people know the words to One Dance by Drake. So that was a really funny moment. But yeah, I'm trying to think of other bands we covered. That same night, we covered a song by this band, Surf Curse, called Disco, which is really good. Usually a lot of smaller bands, but
Sweet Surf Curse. I feel like I've heard of them.
you might have. It's a pretty good song.
Once every couple months, I get into like a weird phase where I listen to a lot of indie. It's usually indie pop punk. But I feel like I do know Surf. I'm gonna look them up real quick. Surf Curse. They have a pretty famous song.
Yeah, is it Disco? I think we covered that one.
It's Freaks.
Freaks. Oh, I don't know if I know that one.
So Freaks, and the reason I know this is because Freaks blew up on TikTok.
Oh, interesting.
It's one of those songs that they do whatever to. I think for Freaks, it's like a like show like your the adventure that's your life or you being the main character or something, and Freaks
Interesting.
by Surf Curse is like the background music.
That's so f I would not expect them to have a TikTok song, but I'll have to go listen to that song.
177 million listeners on Spotify of that
Ouch.
of for Freaks. Yeah,
Oh, wow. Okay, that makes
I
sense.
was wondering why that was so familiar, but yes, I do get into like this phase where I'll listen to just like an indie. Like, you ever hear of Real Friends?
That name sounds familiar.
I got like really into Real Friends, and then I get like really into Modern Baseball, or then I'll get
I've heard
like,
of Modern Baseball, yeah.
it's fun discovering or at least rediscovering like indie, and having those like months where it's like all you listen to.
Yeah. If I may recommend you a band, I would check out the band Oso Oso. They're kind of like in that indie pop punk vein a little bit.
Oh,
You might
nice.
really like them.
Check it out.
That's an artist that I've been listening to a lot over the past, I guess, like 4 or 5 months. I've been on a huge kick, but similar to some of those bands you might find. Highly recommend. But yeah, that's funny
Oh,
that they have
so,
a
oh,
TikTok song.
so. Yeah, it's
Yeah.
actually pretty well known. Or like, I don't know if you ever listen to Mom Jeans.
Yeah, I have before, yeah.
I like Mom Jeans. Mom Jeans gives me is a good vibes on Mom Jeans. I will say, I know you mentioned that you cover the Strokes. You know, you're the reason that I actually started listening to the Strokes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I don't
That's so
remember when it
funny.
was, but you had made like a story post or something about something to do with the Strokes. You know what it might have been? It might have just been that like blue and yellow album cover. And
Oh, is this it?
you did this like one point, probably 4 years ago at this point.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, huh, I'll go check that out. And I was like, wait, I feel like I know it was someday. And I was like, you didn't post someday, but it was like that was the top song recommended. And I was like, oh,
Oh,
I
yeah.
feel like I know this song. But
Yeah, I
yeah,
love that song.
you were the reason I got into the Strokes. Why
Oh,
do
that's awesome.
I have a weird memory of you playing someday or like
I covered it on my
posting a
YouTube
video?
channel.
Yeah, there you go.
That might have been, I wonder if that's what I posted, but yeah, I covered it years ago, and it's still on my YouTube channel under my name if anybody wants to listen to it. But a lot of those covers on there, I don't think they sound too good, but they were, you know, they had their time. They were fun to make. I'm not ashamed of them.
I also remember you had a web series for a while.
Oh my God, the Chris Nitty Show.
The Chris Nitty Show.
That was funny. I was picking up pizza from Sabatino's today in Maplewood, and a guy who gave me the pizza was like, "Chris Nitty, like I really like the Chris Nitty Show." And I was like, "Wow, haven't heard that in a while." But
It's
that's kind of awesome that you just said you liked that joke because I love it.
I just remember seeing it, and I remember it. I thought I had done something wrong. Because I thought I'd watched a mid-season episode or something like that, and I didn't understand it. So I was like, okay, there's like a ton of like background that I'm clearly not picking up on.
Yeah.
Was it all filmed in Colombia?
Basically, no, actually, yeah, it was all filmed in because it was for this class called that was called PM News, and basically It was just like a YouTube channel, and they were like, make videos for it. And sometimes we would have required projects so that people would actually, we would actually have something to post on the channel, but they also were like, do whatever you want. So me and my friend thought it'd be funny to make this show, and then we made a bunch of episodes
I'm
my
actually,
junior and senior year.
I'm just quickly scrubbing through a few, and
They're so great.
I went from here's you in the gym to here's you having a very actually cool lighting lightsaber fight with with one of your boys.
Yeah. Oh my God, that was so fun. We would just try and like come up with the most random shit possible.
And then
Or just like, what's the most absurd thing we could do?
you in a banana suit in the South Orange 7-Eleven.
Oh yeah, that's
That's
iconic,
great.
if I do say so myself, but
No, I mean, I think that's what South Orange needs, just a statue of that right in the center of
Just a bronze statue of me
a
in that
bronze
costume.
center statue of 17-year-old you.
I'm game for it. I'm honestly, I don't like to stroke my ego too much, but I'll let that, I'll allow one stroke of the ego
There you go. Well, I think I
for
know
a
what I'm
bronze
gonna
statue.
do. I know exactly what I'm gonna be doing
Oh
once this call ends.
man.
I have a bunch of seasons to take a look at.
Yeah, what was really funny about that, most recently I was reminded of that show, because mind you, I'm like 3 years out from that show. One of my friends, I met him through a friend I know at school, so he didn't know me when I made those episodes. He wanted to listen to my music, but I guess he didn't want to go to Spotify or wherever he streams music, so he looked up my name on YouTube, and then he found the Chris Nitty show, and he was like, of course he had no idea that I'd done anything like that, so he just like binged the whole series and sent it to my our other mutual friends, and they were like, my friend who I met him through was texting me like, oh, but something about the Chris Nitty show, and I was like, holy shit, how did you find that? Like, I did not really, this was something I didn't expect to happen, but it was really funny.
It's one
And
of
then
those.
I rewatched it, and I was like, yeah, these still hold up. I think these are still funny.
Oh, I was gonna suggest that's one of those things you wish that like people would forget about, but you like it.
Yeah, I think it's hilarious. I always thought about that though, like, let's say my music, I do get, people start finding my music. I wonder if that will happen more often, where people are finding the Chris Nitty show.
Yeah.
I wonder how strangers would receive that show, but probably if they, I feel like if they like my music, like, they'll probably like that show or think it's funny or something, but who knows? With my Instagram, actually, is because I used to just post on there like a lot, and my friends would always tease me about like really old posts that were on there, and I was like, okay, I guess I gotta go take these down now, I'm too embarrassed.
Yeah.
But with the Chris Nitty show, I don't mind. I mean, obviously I cringe at a lot of that stuff, but I feel like that's also was kind of the humor, so it's kind of like this weird, like, I'm cringing at it because it's old, but I'm cringing at it also because I'm supposed to.
Yeah. Oh, well, you also have I just stumbled upon a music video.
Oh, I think for try, yeah.
That's there's okay, so I just got to like an image of you sitting in like a school chair by a waterfall. That's a really cool capture.
Yeah, I forgot where we found. No, I don't think we found that chair in the reservation, but we brought it to the reservation for the video. I think my friend had just found that chair, and he was like, oh, let's write, like, try on it by Chris Nitty for the video, and like, we threw it off of somewhere, I think we threw it off like one of the clips by the waterfall, but it was kind of one of those videos where we were like, let's just get a bunch of random footage that looks cool and put it together. It didn't really have much of a concept, but
I like it.
it was still, yeah, I love that video. I've been wanting to make a music video ever since, but the stars have not aligned yet for that to happen. Hopefully before the summer ends, I can actually like get a nice music video filmed for something
Nice.
off the new album, but I'm trying to, I have to really get on that if I want that to happen, so we'll see.
Sure. All right. Well, Chris, as always, it's been great talking to you. Great getting your insight, and really cool watching you both grow as an artist and seeing how your career goes. And I would definitely check out for everybody listening. One day you will forget you were ever waiting. It was really cool also to see you on the date of that release just by chance. Definitely check him out. He's on Spotify. Are you on any other platforms?
Yeah, so I'm on anywhere you stream music, basically Apple Music and wherever else. I also have a Bandcamp where If you feel like buying the album, you can, but you don't need to. But you can also listen to it there if you'd like. Anywhere you please, really.
All right. Well, do you have any plugs for anything you're doing or anything you want to plug for anybody else?
I would definitely, let's see what I would plug. Also, just in addition, it's been a pleasure to be on this podcast. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to reconnect after all these years.
Yeah, really, it's been nice to do this. I've never done a podcast, so, but I've always wanted to. I watch podcasts sometimes and I'm like, that would be cool to just like talk to somebody for like a thing. But plug obviously me. If you want to follow me on Instagram, you can follow me at Chris Nitty, one word. I'm sure my name will be in the title, so you'll know how to spell it. You'd be surprised at my last name getting screwed up, but yeah, listen to that. If you like the new album, definitely listen to my friend's band, Vincent and the Noise. The lead singer of that band mixed it and did a really great job, and his music is excellent, so I would highly recommend that. In terms of any other plugs, no, follow me on Instagram. That's where you'll get updates about music or what's coming out or other related things I'm doing, like if I drop merch or have a music video, that's where you're gonna hear about it. So follow me there, stream me anywhere you like. And that's really all I have to plug, I think. But go
And
ahead.
obviously check out the Chris Nitty Show,
Oh
exclusive
yeah,
to
if you want some funny, check out the Chris Nitty Show on YouTube. It's hilarious, I think.
All right, man. Thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
If you enjoyed that last episode of the Doorcast, please go and subscribe on whatever streaming platform you're using. We can't make it happen without you. And this will also entitle you to updates on when new episodes arrive on the platform. Thanks so much.